Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of In the Money. It's been quite a hiatus for us, so I'm very excited to be back with everyone here today. My name is Andrew McGowan, part of our trading strategy desk here at Fidelity. And with me today, as always, is Tony Zhang, Chief Strategy Officer and co-founder at Options Play. Tony, it's been a very interesting market period since the last time that we got together. Glad to have you back on. How have you been?
Yeah, I've been doing really well. Thank you so much, Andrew. And you're absolutely right. A lot has transpired in the roughly 4 weeks that we've been off. Probably the most important thing to look at is the fact that the S&P 500 just recently made a new all-time high, and actually just earlier today printed another new all-time high. We broke out above that major resistance level at 6150. So we're now about 30% off of the April lows, one of the fastest recoveries in history of the S&P 500. By most measures, from a technical perspective, the market is reaching what we would typically consider as overbought conditions. And we do have some signs also of some exhaustion here to the upside. But the new print here of new all-time highs early today really shows us that momentum continues, that momentum is incredibly strong, and that we can potentially see some further upside here in equities, for both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. And we're seeing a broad participation on this rally here. It's not just the mega cap names dragging the markets higher. We're really seeing kind of the rest of the market playing quite a bit of catch up here, providing further, I would say, confidence in this particular rally here at the moment. But what's interesting to me is that what the equity markets are showing us from a price action perspective seems to fly in the face a little bit with the hard data that's coming out from an economic perspective, because the June data that we recently just have seen over the last couple of weeks have really started to show the bit of a slowing economy. Private payrolls, ADP came out last week with a contraction around 33,000 jobs. The job report last Thursday, right before July 4th, the headline number was quite strong here, but a lot of that growth was coming from government and healthcare. The private sector was actually coming in quite a bit weaker than expected. And then if you look at both manufacturing and services, manufacturing remains in contraction territory, and even services just barely in expansion territory, and services employment fell, back into contraction territory as well. And probably the most important one, consumer spending and consumer confidence both, surprised at the downside. We saw a contraction in consumer spending, and consumer confidence dropped fairly sharply in June compared to May. So, overall, the economic data starting to come out here in June, is clearly showing signs of slowing down for the economy, cooling off for the economy. I will say what was interesting this morning was Delta's earnings report, which came in far better than expected. And that could potentially be an early sign that consumer confidence and consumer spending is maybe starting to come out or come turn around here. Airlines have a very specific, unique look into sort of the future because they get a sense for, what type of trips people are planning. And the CEO of Delta came out earlier today, kind of showing quite a bit of optimism for the second half of 2025, and a lot more clarity, as he says, compared to 90 days ago. So for those reasons, I think that perhaps the downbeat economic numbers coming out in June perhaps is the low point, and we can start seeing a bit of a turnaround here, because at least that's what the equity markets are potentially pointing us to here at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the insights, Tony. It seems like we've been looking at some very similar things. Like you mentioned, since the last time we've been together, we've had tariff news come out. We've had major legislative action, plenty of events to keep traders on their toes. And as you mentioned, the market has had a very impressive move since the lows of April, basically 3 months ago at this point. Now us back to all-time highs, even within the last week, maybe seeing some mild digestion of those recent moves now that we're back to those highs. But the strength of this trend has been observable, especially with recent consolidations, finding buyers stepping in at a 20-day simple moving average when tested. So that now seems potentially like an important line in the sand for bulls to defend. So on that note, if you would like to get daily live updates and market briefings on these important themes, please join the Trading Strategy Desk's live coaching sessions at fidelity.com/coaching. But that being said, I know you have a trade idea to discuss with us today. What is the first trade idea that we're looking at? How can we think about some potential risk and reward opportunities?
Yeah, I want to take a look at Target, the retailer, because over the last few years, Target has really struggled compared to its peers, especially on the revenue side. But it seems like there are some early signs that Target is staging a bit of a comeback here, and I think it's worth paying attention to here for investors. If you look at the chart here for Target, the stock has, like I said, really struggled. It's lost about 50% of its value in the past year or so. But it's been spending the last 3 months consolidating a little bit just below that $100 level. And just a couple of weeks ago, the stock just broke out above that $100 level to the upside with some significant volume. And not only has it broken out, it sort of came back to retest that $100 level a couple of days ago and is now starting to rise from that. So it's a good confirmation this breakout seemingly has been confirmed, and we're looking for potentially further upside from here. And my upside target here for Target, an initial upside target, is around $130 to the upside. But I think the true story here is really in looking at the business, because if you look at the surf on the surface level, comparing Target to the major retailers like Walmart and Costco and some of the other names, in many ways they look very similar. EPS growth of somewhere in the 8 to 9% range. The one area where Target has really struggled, and part of why the stock has taken such a sharp decline in the last couple of years compared to Walmart and Costco, is because revenue growth hasn't really been there. Right now, Target's looking at about 1 to 2% revenue growth versus the industry average is close to around 4 to 5%. But where Target really excels is in profitability. Net margins are about 4% versus the industry average is around 2.5%. So Target actually exceeds about 75% of its peers from that perspective. And on top of that, Target pays about a 4.3% dividend yield, which is head and shoulders above its peers. So for those reasons, the fact that it trades at only 13 times forward earnings, where the average stock in this industry is trading around 18 times forward earnings, really reflects how deep of a discount Target is trading at. And if you look at the underlying fundamentals, I don't think it justifies this stock trading at such a low multiple. I think this really is where investors are starting to pay attention to Target again and seeing how big of a bargain the stock currently is trading at, and starting to pay attention. And I think we're starting to see a little bit of accumulation for this particular stock as the outlook for the future, as the outlook around tariffs looks a lot more less uncertain compared to, like I said, about 90 days ago for a lot of companies. So Target is playing a little bit of catch up here after being left behind. The breakout here, plus the relative strength, I think is a clear sign that there's a rotation into some of these underperforming stocks, especially when the fundamentals look fairly solid. Compare that to Walmart, which just about our last trade that we had before the break here was a short Walmart trade. Walmart trades at 38 times forward earnings versus Target's 13, 14 times forward earnings. So you're looking at a valuation that's more than half of what Walmart is trading at. Compare that to Costco at 50 times. So Target, it reflects really a value-driven upside, in my opinion, in this retailing space. And with net margins that exceed 75% of its peers and its strong dividend yield, I think there's a compelling case to take a look at Target to the upside in this type of market environment, as the rest of the market plays a little bit of catch up as markets reach all-time highs. So I think the way to play this, is to take advantage of the fact that options on Target right now are fairly elevated in terms of premium. You can collect some sizable premium by selling a downside put spread here. And I'm looking at selling the 103.95 put spread. So I'm selling the 103 puts, and I'm buying a 95 put against that, and earn net net I can collect earlier today around $3.35 for that credit spread. And that means that I have a maximum profit potential around $335 as long as Target stays above above 103, and I'm risking a total of $465 per contract if Target is below the lower strike at $95. So remember, that means the Target has to trade back into below that support level and back into that trading range before you would see the maximum loss on this particular trade. And the break-even price on this particular strategy strategy is just above that $100 strike, $100 support level that I've noted that the stock broke out from just last week. So I think this is one way that you can potentially capture some potential upside here in Target while capturing some premium from selling options here in this particular name.
Absolutely. I appreciate that excellent breakdown there, Tony. Again, I would like to point out that this is another example in which traders can combine a variety of perspectives from a top-down approach, both fundamentally as well as technically. But on top of that, though, it's a great example of how traders can use options to efficiently allocate to risk. So when traders are considering different strategies, the question of one leg or two is generally one of those more popular questions, especially with credit-driven strategies like this one. Suppose instead, if we were doing a cash secure put, the risk of being wrong has significant asymmetry versus the reward of being right. So, like you mentioned, one of the benefits of this approach is that predefining of the risk and reward ratio that help traders plan for the different variety of outcomes. Naturally, the benefit of certainty does come with a cost and the benefit of the defining of that risk, but sometimes that cost can allow traders to feel better about those potential outcomes. So, on that note, Tony, do you mind actually expanding on what you might look for when deciding between one leg or two, or how should a trader think about managing this trade?
Yeah, absolutely. So, if you look at just selling the 103 puts as a single leg strategy, and that is very much, a viable strategy here as well. The one sort of drawback, if you will, to that particular strategy is the amount of margin or the cash that you need to set aside in order to sell that cash secured put. So if you sold that 103 put for $6, you need about $9,700 in cash to sell a single contract. Versus by using a put spread like this, yes, you collect a little less premium. You're only collecting $335 versus $600 per contract, but your margin requirement is reduced by about 95% because the maximum risk of $465 is your margin requirement versus $9,700. You're looking at about a 95% reduction in overall risk and 95% reduction in the amount of margin required or cash required in order to get into the trade. So for those reasons, I do think for many investors who perhaps are working with less cash in their account or just trying to be more capital efficient, using the put spread makes a lot of sense versus using a single leg short put. Now, to your second point, your second question with regards to managing these types of trades, with a credit vertical spread, the rule of thumb that we generally have is that if you collect more than 50% of the premium that you can potentially trade, or the 50% of the maximum gain potential on a credit spread, once you collect that amount, it's time to potentially roll your trade and basically recenter your trade and roll it out and to collect further upside on this particular trade by basically resetting the trade to a new 45-day credit spread. On the flip side, if the trade goes against you, generally speaking, if you've lost 100% of the premium that you can potentially collect on a credit spread, that is generally a good sign that the trade is not working out in the way that you expect it to, certainly not in the time frame that you're expecting it to, and that means that you should generally cut your losses and move on to the next trade.
Excellent. I appreciate the insights, Tony. So now that we covered this new trade idea for the week, we would actually like to pivot into a different discussion. Since we're beginning to arrive into a new earnings season, we'd be remiss not to take a look at some of the names with upcoming earnings announcements. I know you mentioned one earlier, but there's another one we were going to take a look at because earnings season can be a very exciting time for traders, especially with all of this recent market action, but it's also a heightened period of risk. So that being said, are there any names that you had on your radar for this earnings season there, Tony?
Yeah, Andrew, I can't believe we're kicking off another earnings season already, but next week we will have kind of the real start to the earnings season. This week was really kind of the first preview, if you will. We have a lot of banks and financial firms reporting next week, and one that I have my eye on is American Express, which reports on July 18th in the morning. And from my perspective, there are some concerns that I have around the consumer spending and consumer confidence numbers that have been recently coming out that I think will potentially weigh on outlook for credit type companies like American Express, which is already trading at the high end of its valuation range. So this is a stock that very much is priced to perfection to some degree. We also have seen a lot of competition in the higher end premium credit card category. JP Morgan Chase recently just announced a big change to their premium travel card, which puts it into direct competition with American Express. So I think there is some potential risk to the downside here for American Express going into earnings next week. So for those reasons, I'm taking a bearish stance going into earnings, due to the downside risks on a potentially a more cautious forward guidance.
Absolutely. Excellent breakdown, Tony. As we mentioned, earnings season sometimes brings in that period of volatility and uncertainty to the market. And it's important to remember that it's not just about what companies report, it's also about factoring in what the market expects the company to report. So now that we have covered this new trade idea and some earnings considerations, it's time for us to review a trade idea from a prior episode. I know you mentioned rolling up earlier in the episode. I believe this was also a roll originally. And this is going to be an interesting because these look backs have often been very helpful for those newer option traders, as we mentioned. It allows them to see how those risks and reward opportunities have played out in the real world. So with that being said, which trade are we looking back on this week there, Tony?
Yeah, I want to take a look at Oracle because this was a trade that we had put on about 2 months ago, where we had bought a 170, 190 call spread on Oracle. And when the stock popped on earnings, we rolled that call from a 170, 190 to a 200 to 220 call spread. Now, since we've placed that roll, when Oracle is trading around 200, the stock is now trading around 235. That 200-220 call spread is now worth about $17.50. So we're basically just shy of the maximum profit potential on that debit spread. And the stock has run a substantial amount here in the last couple of months, around 170 to 235. And I think there are some signs that this rally here is starting. We can see some exhaustion, some potential consolidation ahead. And I think this is a good example of when a trade goes in your favor, instead of just taking profits and moving on, you can potentially invest more of your, invest some of your profits into furthering that potential trade. And if the stock really runs, you can turn what is a small win into a home run. And this is a prime example of that. And I think for a lot of traders, it's understandable when a trade goes in your favor, you take your profits and you run. But this is a learning lesson, in my opinion, to learn how when the trade proves you to be correct, that you can potentially turn a small win into potentially a home run.
Absolutely, I agree. It does really demonstrate the power of active management in the option space and why it's important to always have a clear outlook on price, time, and volatility. It's important to always be dynamic as a trader. And like you mentioned, the interesting component too is that options do give you options. We have the ability to allow ourselves to change our minds when presented with new evidence that changes our outlook. And for this time in particular, it seems we're able to do so while booking a solid gain, so even better. But that being said, that does bring us to a close for today. I want to thank all of our viewers for tuning in today. As always, don't forget to tune into the Trading Strategy Desk's follow-up session hosted by myself tomorrow, Friday at 1:30 Eastern Time. You can sign up for that class by going to fidelity.com/in-the-money-follow-up. We also offer a Fidelity Active Investor newsletter where we strive to provide meaningful and timely trading insights right to your inbox by going to fidelity.com/activeinvestorweekly. We're looking forward to seeing you all next week. Until then, take care, everyone.
Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of Characteristics and Risks of Standardized Options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options such as spreads, straddles, and collars as compared with a single option trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you are most comfortable with. As with all your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of options options play and are not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use.
Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC.
Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.